All right. Well, here we are in 2018. And can you believe it's 2018? I mean, it seems like just yesterday we were talking about Y2K in the year 2000 when everything was going to shut down because of some computer glitch. People stocked up on water and food. There was a run on gas generators so people could have power after everything shut down. And then there was a big sale on gas generators after the fact because nothing happened. I mean, that was 18 years ago. Oh my goodness. How the world has changed in those 18 years. Some of you weren't even born yet. And while others were in grade school or like Bonnie and I back then, we had a very young family. Katie was not even yet a twinkle in her mother's eye. But it was a very different time. But here we are in 2018. And in some ways, life has gotten more complicated with all the going ons around us. I mean, our access to information is greater than it has ever been. I mean, you can know what is happening literally on the other side of the world if you want it. And Wikipedia and Siri are there to help answer any questions you might have. And this is a time when people are more in touch than they have ever been. I mean, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, there's Snapchat, and a great majority of people have a cell phone, which is so much more than a phone. So you can always be in touch as people call or text. And then many have computers with email, the ability to Skype. Not that you need a computer for Skyping or other contact method or ways, but you can do that through that as well. I mean, there's also FaceTime, other services that keep us in touch with others through our screens. And we have all this information. We have all this connectedness. And yet people feel more alone than ever before. Vivek Murphy, a former Surgeon General in the States, in an article in the Harvard Business Review, reported that 40% of people in the States struggle with loneliness. And that number might actually be much higher. And I don't think it's much of a leap to say that our numbers here in our nation are any different. I'm pretty sure they're close to the same. And in fact, my experience as a pastor in the recent years would point to this. Now, the name of the article I took that quote from was Work and the Loneliness Epidemic. And it's kind of depressing. I mean, because of all the sadness it represents for many, many people. And loneliness, it's just one word to describe how many people in our day and age feel. And there's another that can be so connected to loneliness. And that word is lost. I have all this stuff, but I feel lost. I have all this connectedness, but I feel lost. I have all these people around me, but I feel lost, as if no one sees me. And it's here that the words that Jesus spoke after spending time with Zacchaeus seems to speak to the state that many people find themselves struggling with. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And one of the most amazing things Jesus came to do. And today, who are his hands and his feet? I mean, as we start into 2018, who is to represent Jesus? Well, you know the answer. We are. The church. And when I say the church, I'm not referring to a building. I'm referring to the people who make up the family of God, the church. I'm referring to the body of Christ. And my friends, that's us. That is us. And we are Bramley Alliance Church, together a family, knowing, growing, and showing. And as we start this new year, I wanted to revisit our core values, those things that make us who we are, those values, and this is key, that Jesus has caused to grow up amongst us as he guides and directs us through those values. You know, the values that represent us in this church as we seek to represent our Lord in Brampton and around this world. So let's pray, and we're going to head into this for today. Father God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the awesome worship that's already taken place. I thank you for the things that Danielle shared with us about where you're taking her. And God, right now, I just want to come before you and ask that you would just continue to be present here with us in a powerful way. Lord, I pray for encouragement. I pray for my friends to be challenged. Jesus, I pray that I'd ask you to forgive me my sins and cleanse me. And Holy Spirit, please fill me up and speak to my friends today as we look at who you've grown us to be. God, I pray that this will be a morning of encouragement. Father, I ask that you will truly do a great work here today. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, it was back in 2014 that we started this process of trying to figure out what our core values are. And we worked at it into 2015, and we took our time. We're not going to rush this. Why? Well, back then, we looked around, and we liked what we saw happening. I mean, people's lives were being changed. We knew that God was on the move. Good things were happening. And we wanted to identify what it was that was making it this way. And it was not like that. It was not like we had no challenges. There were challenges. But they never seemed to become mountains that looked impassable. In fact, those challenges seemed more like speed bumps. You know, slow down, be cautious, but keep moving forward in wisdom and unity. I mean, it was a really good place to be as a church family. And the board of elders recognized this, as did the staff team. But what was it we were doing to be living in that reality? I mean, what were the values that we were living out? This was important to know. Because if we did not know what those values were, they could be lost. So with everything covered in prayer, we took Jesus' words to heart from Matthew 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So we started asking, seeking. We started acting like good detectives. We started asking those questions, and we were very purposeful in our asking. Because often in a process like this, people will give you what they want them to be or what they one day hope they will be. But that's not what we were asking. We wanted to know what are the values right now. And so we began asking questions in that way. How are you seeing values being lived out in front of you? And we went looking for those tangible examples. I got to tell you, it was a very exciting time from all that we saw. The examples we heard about as stories were relayed to us. And so over a six-month period, which covered two of our staff development retreats, were spent on this topic. And we had an elders retreat where the primary focus was this question: what are our core values? We spent some time doing some helpful training and creating a culture of self-awareness that we need to live life with our eyes wide open to who we really are as a church. We did some training on the significance of values and shaping culture. And we talked about this at staff meetings. We talked about this at elders meetings. But we didn't stop there. We brought it to you, our church family, for your input. And everyone who wanted to had opportunity to place their observations or thoughts into identifying our core values. And we prayed, and we prayed, and there was some pretty awesome alignment as we brought all that data together. And those core values that we as a church family were living out came into focus. Because we had been doing life together. We had been listening to Jesus, doing what he asked of us. And he had been shaping us for a few years prior to seeking what these values are. And he continues to shape us as a church family. But in those 3 to 4 years before 2014, before seeking out what those values were, some pretty awesome things had happened in the church that I believe led to these values being established. Let me read to you a little passage from Philippians 2. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Now, I have two more verses I'm going to read here, but those two verses speak to being connected to Jesus, to doing life with the Holy Spirit, and encouragement and kindness flowing from us because of this. And Paul is speaking of his joy being full if the Philippian church would move together in purpose as they are like-minded, being on mission together. Now, you can disagree with me about this, but as much as Paul's joy would have been filled up by seeing this take place in the Philippian church, I think, without a shadow of a doubt, that God, the Father's joy, would have been filled to see his family moving that way. Jesus' joy would be full seeing his family moving that way. You know, back in May 2010, it was the number one family vacation we had ever taken. And to this day, it remains my absolute favorite time with my family. We did a 20-day trip to Florida. Kara was 12, Katie was 7 years old, and we drove to Florida. We crammed everything into our minivan, and we took off and we drove to Florida. We spent a week in Kissimmee. We did the whole Disney thing for 1 week. Then we spent another week on Anna Marie Island with Grandma and Grandpa Finnemore. And my kids enjoyed the time on Anna Marie Island far more than they enjoyed the week of Disney. But we had this time together. And I know some of you are not going to believe this. You're just not. Because we went all that way, we came all the way back. And my kids, not one time did they fight or argue or anything. It was a miracle. Okay? It was incredible. And we had this whole time away, and not once, even the night that Erin, she was sharing a bed with Kara, and she rolled off the edge of the bed and got stuck between the wall and the bed. And we had to go in and rescue, and we pulled her out. And as we pulled her out, she was laughing and laughing. Not one time did they fight or argue or anything. It was just incredible. And I got to tell you, why that trip remains the number one vacation is because of that. That time with my family, it filled me with joy. As we swam, as we did the Disney thing, as we rode bikes together, as we walked along the beach, it just filled me with joy to see my family together with joy and happiness and unity. It was incredible. And here's the thing. I know as we move together as a church family in unity, we are walking and we are living in the favor of God, because that kind of unity brings joy to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, during those years, prior to us seeking out the values, was making us into the Bramley Alliance family he wanted us to be. Now, I do not want you to be unaware that where we've come from. Some of you know that I've been here 11 years as lead pastor. And those first couple years were challenging. Because in those first few years, there were a number of little kingdoms that created tension as they came into conflict with where Jesus was trying to lead us. And my prayer life was as fantastic as it had ever been during those times. Because I tell you, I said more than once to Jesus, you got me into this. You have got to help me, Jesus. You have got to lead me. And I listened. I listened. Because to be totally candid, I didn't know what to do. And so I went to my knees. But here's the thing. It wasn't just me who did this. A number of our elders listened, and together we listened. And we learned some incredible things during that time. we learned that it is not the person with the biggest personality that leads, or the person with the loudest voice that leads. In fact, it's not even the one who sounds the most spiritual or can quote the most verses that leads. No, no, it's not. None of these. This is the church of Jesus. He's our leader. So we listen to him. We listen through prayer. We listen. We listen as we read the scriptures. We listen. And yes, circumstances can help, but we listen through those as well. And we listen through all of those things, and we lead together. Because who is the head of the body of Christ? Jesus. And so as we listen, we ought to be coming to the same conclusions. If we're seeking after him and listening to him, we ought to arrive at the same place. And that's what was happening on the board of elders. Listen to the next couple verses from Philippians. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." When selfish ambition, or I could say selfish agendas, get in the way, there are problems all over the place. But humility, oh my goodness, what humility does. I mean, it makes such a difference. Lord, we don't know what to do. Would you show us the way? Speak to us. And guess what? When you ask Jesus those things, he actually will speak to you. And in those years, we began to see a change. Lots of prayer as we sought Jesus out and we listened and we started to act on his initiatives for the church. And the church started to change. Because there were values that were growing up in this place. Some of those values were brand new. Others had already been here, but now were growing even as others faded away. As Jesus was forming us into the church family he wanted us to be, as we were moving together in unity as a church, his church. And we discovered what these core values were that Jesus had formed in us, that were guiding our actions and our decisions, that were leading us to make a difference in this community. And I'm going to give them to you in short form today. And there's not a hierarchy here. And you're going to recognize these as our values because you can see examples of these things lived out all over the place here at Bramley Alliance. Now, the first core value that came through clearly was the fact that we are a multi-generational family. And we value that from baby to children to youth to young adults to our seniors. We are together, and we want to be. And within that value, there was this huge heart for children and youth. And for that to happen requires something that can be a real challenge in a church. It requires unselfish older saints who are willing to lay down their preferences that they hold in areas. And they take the stance, "Jesus, I am yours. This is your church. Let me join you in all that you're doing. Even if I have to let go of some of my preferences." You know, James, the brother of Jesus, wrote these words in James 4. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something and you don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight." And right there is sadly why some churches blow up. People thinking it's all about them and getting what they want, getting their way. And when that happens, I mean, you might as well just pull the pin on the hand grenade and throw it in because things are going to blow up all over the place. But this core value, This core value of being a multi-generational family is awesome because its very existence invites mutual submission to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And beyond that, I know that there are some of you who might think that value leads to tolerance of one another in the different age groups. But my experience here at BAC is that tolerance has been blown right out of the water and replaced with love. There is a love in this family for each other. And it just goes so far beyond tolerance. It's incredible. And it's beyond encouraging. Jesus said, "By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Do we get that? He didn't say, "If you love the lost," there. He says, "As we love each other, the world will say, hey, those are disciples of Jesus Christ. Look at how they care. Look at how they look after one another." And it was happening. That is one of the major values that Jesus had caused to grow within this family. And we have a family that sees things like the discipleship project take place as older Christians build into a youth as they share their lives with them, meeting together in a big group, but then outside of the building in groups of four for the purpose of discipleship. Older Christians caring for younger, or a number of our, just recently, a number of our joy group serving our youth at the Christmas banquet, their Christmas banquet for that night. I mean, and our Christmas banquet that we held here not that long ago, that whole program that we had that night yells out, "We are a family." One of my personal favorites this year, and I am a little biased about this, but I tell you, I just love the father-kid battle archery night that the men's ministry put on. It was just such an amazing night. We had kids, okay, so kids, fathers and their kids, from age kids 7 up to 25 that came. I tell you, that Grace Ann Taylor, she's impossible to hit with an arrow. She is. She's like a ninja. You know, I was glad she was on my side. It was just such an incredible night as we came together. And you see it all over this place that we value being a multi-generational family. Now, I want to mention four other core values that we hold. And we're going to be coming back to these next week as we continue to look at this. But the second core value is outreach and evangelism. We care about people coming to Jesus. I think about our commitment to Alpha, adult, youth, and children shows this. Having just come through Christmas, and with the Rose Theater, What Child Is This? That was all about making Jesus known. Thirdly, and please understand, there's crossover here in these core values, like literally all over the place. But we value God's love in action. From the clothing give to our involvement with regeneration, the meals ministry. I mean, even the heart of this coming year of our Mission Israel's team as they prepare to head out and minister beyond our borders to share the love of Jesus reflects this core value, God's love in action. Fourth, God's word. Now, as a pastor, I got to tell you, I remember when I was reading over all the information that came in from you, our congregation, the insights and comments that came, my heart just soared. As I read again and again the value placed on preaching and the teaching and the reading of God's word. In fact, even as we're here right now in this service, downstairs there's all kinds of kids, and there are our youth group is meeting to study God's word. We have three different adult classes that are going on right now to study God's word. I mean, it's just such an encouragement to me. Fifthly, the fifth core value is leadership development. This is a value here, and it is huge. And understand, this represents the development of you. Of you, this church family. Those of you who have served in kids ministry, you know that Julie builds into you. Those of you who serve in the youth ministry, you know that Dan Martin builds into you. Dan Hogan takes his group away as well for a time of training. I mean, this coming weekend, next weekend, the elders are away Friday and all day Saturday. And all day Saturday, we're doing training on governance, leadership development. Many of you have been away on some of these training weekends, and who knew that growing as a leader could be so much fun? And it was awesome. I mean, just earlier this morning, okay, Danielle up here, what an incredible example of a young woman who loves Jesus, who's been built into from our kids ministry, our youth ministry, our young adults, and not just built into, but has had opportunity to lead around this church. Had opportunity. Leadership development is one of our core values. You see it being lived out in front of you. And I love it. I love our core values. You know, as they are represented in our catchphrase, Bramley Alliance Church Together, a family, knowing, growing, and showing. Next week, we're going to spend some more time looking at these values. But what I want to do right now is we've done this every year. We're going to take a look back over the year that was 2017. And as we do, can you watch this with eyes understanding what our core values are? And as you see this, see if you recognize it all over the place. As a band is going to lead us in a final song, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. All that is all of us. And we do this together because we love Jesus. We love each other. And God is going to continue to do great things at Bramley Alliance as we continue being who he calls us to be. As we continue to listen and to say, Jesus, you tell us what to do and we'll do it. So my friends, let's guard our unity. Let's look out for each other. Let's love each other. Show the watching world that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the time and effort you put in to building Bramley Alliance. Jesus is the leader of our church. Thank you.